In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, oh mate, it is going to warm your heart, this one. I speak to Bluey. He is the main man at Incognito. I mean, years and years and years of phenomenal jazz, funk, soul, dance music. They do it all. And we dig even deeper and we talk about some incredible records today. And you're going to get to witness a little friendship forming here. There's a little bromance unfolds on this episode. You're going to love Bluey. He's an absolute delight. Before we get going on that chat, you know the drill. I have to do some thank yous. So I want to thank the team at Blue Murder Club Podcast. They produce this episode. So huge thanks to them. And go check out the Blue Murder Club Podcast. Wonderful true crime pod. Thanks to Vanita. It was Vanita that put together this conversation between Incognito and myself. Big thanks to Scroobius Pip. And the Distraction Pieces Network, and always the biggest love and thanks go to you lot for just supporting this pod and being ruddy nice. If you've just joined this podcast to check out today's episode with Bluey, once you've listened to this track, you need to go and explore the back catalogue because, if you like your sort of jazz, funk, soul, who have I had on? Eddie Piller, the man that set up Acid Jazz. I've had Snowboy. I think Snowboy was even in Incognito for a while. We do mention the Brand New Heavies. I've recently had them on the podcast. Incredible producers such as, who have I had on? Fatboy Slim and Butch Vig. You can hear chats with Leon Bridges, Allo Black, Chuck D of Public Enemy. There's 500 episodes, so just go and immerse yourself, and while you're over there, subscribe and give us a little follow on the socials as well, because we're on Instagram, Facebook, and it's not called Twitter anymore, is it? X. We're over there. If you just search Off the Beat and Track, you'll find us. And the thing that I always like to shout about, in the show notes, there's a couple of links. There's one to Patreon, and that's a little sort of crowd support thing that I'd love you to explore, and it costs $1 a month, so about 70 odd p a month, and for that you get to watch all the episodes. I upload all the video episodes over there. You get an access to a huge archive of unreleased episodes, radio shows, and you get to come along to the monthly online Zoom live show where you get to chat and get involved if you want, or you can just sit there with your camera and your mic off and just listen in. But it's a lovely little hangout with like-minded people, and we just have really lovely conversations. We're doing one I'm doing one tonight, actually, at the time of recording, not at the time of release. I'm recording one tonight, and we're talking about essential albums in our collection. So it's not a snotty kind of snobby too cool for school thing. You know, I'll be talking about Now That's What I Call Music One, because that record was a gateway for me. So there's no indie schmindy elitism on these live shows, and we'd love you to come along and join the gang, because it's a really lovely bunch of people over there. And you can find out about that Patreon in the show notes. Alternatively, just search Patreon, patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack. And it's beat and, it's not beaten. And also in the show notes, there's a thing called Buy Me a Coffee. If you'd just like to buy me a cup of coffee, you can click the thing over there and buy us a cup of coffee because, well, I like coffee. Right. That's enough of the kind of preamble, wamble, wamble, and we can get on to the top-notch chat now. And that comes by way of today's guest. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with the delightful Bluey of Incognito.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Bluey, how are you today?
I am very good, sir. Good to be with you.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, mate. It's an absolute pleasure. Where are you today?
At home.
Where's that?
In North London. Oh, Stoke Newington.
Lovely.
Are you on a sunny day?
A sunny day. I don't know whereabouts that is in London, because I was in London this morning and I'm back out in the suburbs now in Essex, and it's bloody freezing, mate.
No, we're having a really warm, sunny day.
Oh, well, you're a lucky man. Bluey, I've got your song tracks, so I'm really looking forward to talking about them and your career and what's happening with Incognito moving forwards. But we always start with a track, and I'm going to ask you to tell me the song which you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Never, Never Gonna Give You Up, Barry White. The first 46 seconds, that string intro. It reminds me, it's not just a great piece of music, but it's attached to me because I was dating a girl. And when I heard that intro, I knew it was time for me to go and reach out to her and get her on a dance floor. You know, it's like, so music is always attached, like a photograph album with great memories. And that intro does it for me. And I feel sorry for anybody who I'm in a relationship with ever since, because when I hear that intro, I obviously go back to that moment. I feel like I'm cheating.
I think there's probably been a hell of a lot of relationships that have been consummated to the sounds of Barry White over the years. I'm pretty sure of that.
Oh, yes. He's definitely contributed to some baby making.
I mean, let's talk about intros and whether it, you know, whether you've got your songwriting head on, your producer head. The way that songs and essentially... And the way that people listen to music now has changed so much, certainly over the duration of the longevity of Incognito. And people seem to have a lot more patience, you know, even as far back as sort of 10 years. And that patience seems to be getting shorter and shorter. Attention spans are getting quicker and quicker. And it's becoming reflective in more commercial pop music now. And we're seeing these 2-minute songs and thing, you know, apps like TikTok being used to get music out there. And there's a lot of emphasis on getting on the right Spotify playlist, which I guess is the same as what it was maybe 10, 15 or more years ago of trying to get, you know, on the radio and trying to get on top of the pops, etc. Do any of these sort of changes and trends in how people listen to music ever filter through into your creative process?
It does and it doesn't. You know, obviously you edit something for radio and but now that I've got my own label on this album, I was like, we're going to go out and do whatever intros we need to do. Yeah. In the past, I felt guilty about doing a big string intro and stuff. This time I'm not. Sadly, I couldn't have the string budget because I'm doing my first self-financed album on my own label. Yeah. But intros really are significant. I've known that for a long, long time. In the 60s, I'd hear the opening of a track and I'd know that's a Marvin Gaye track. I'd hear the opening of a song by Tower of Power and just by the sound of the horns and what they have on the intro, I knew that was Tower of Power. Earth, Wind and Fire, you give me just a little nibble and I know it's them. And that's where I recognize. And I asked this question to Leon Ware many years ago. I said, you know, how important was intros to you? He said, Bluey, one of the things that I like about Incognito, your band, is that the moment I hear the first few bars, I know it's your band. So that's why you've been successful. He actually told me one of the reasons why we've stayed around and been successful and in actually being a band that people recognize the moment they hear our music. And I think that's important. It's important to borrow us from other people and be influenced by it, but you have to have your own sound, and that's always heard in your intros. Fantastic. You know, I mean, you hear that. I mean, this is a perfect example of what we're playing right now with Barry White, but you know, there is no Barry White tune that comes on that you don't know it's going to be Barry.
Yeah,
you know, and I love that, and I love that even on in simple songs. You know, Bill Withers, I'd hear just the opening few bars, and I think that must be a Bill Withers song. And then when it happens that I find out about the song, and I'm usually right, because there is a sensitivity, there is a subtleness about his music and the way that he portrays it. So intros are very, very important. And like you said, we're in a world where time is short. I mean, but obviously I'm not hearing what the world is doing. I've just done a 16 track double album, yeah, you know, from my own pocket. So you're speaking to the guy on the other side, the guy who doesn't give a damn except to answer to the calling of his own music.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Long may that continue. I'm going to ask you for track two, to tell me the first song you remember hearing, Bluey, that had an emotional impact on you, please.
I came to England in 67, and it was in 1968 that I went to secondary school, Holloway School, and I was struggling because I was looking like an Indian or Pakistani kid. I was being picked on by skinheads. I was ending up in hospitals for beatings. I was suffering, and one teacher saw this, that I was hurting, and he said to me, "What's your passion?" And I said, "Music." He said, and I didn't have a guitar at the time. He said, "I'll bring a couple of guitars in and I'll show you how to play some chords." And he didn't realize that I already by then knew how to play a fair bit of guitar.
Yeah.
So for somebody who didn't have guitar, he thought he was going to instruct me from scratch. And he had brought in some records. He brought in a little record player, and he brought in a little stack of records. And he said, "I'm going to teach you a simple riff, you know." And he put on Through the Grapevine, oh, Marvin Gaye, you know, and I heard that dun, 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 dun,
what an intro.
Dun, 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 dun. And you know, I heard that and I started to play immediately. And he said, "What, you're a natural. Oh man, you got a career in music," because I was jamming with it in the end.
Yeah.
And I was putting little lines and playing with it. And that was a moment that really, it was somebody who didn't know me realizing my dreams, you know.
Yeah.
and telling me, like my grandfather had done when I was 5 years old, "You're going to make it in the music business, you know, don't worry about it, you know, just be humble and be ready to serve and everything's going to be all right."
Yeah.
And this guy played me that song, and when I heard that song and I heard the voice of Marvin Gaye, and I became a fan forever. It was the first time I'd heard Marvin Gaye in my life. And the production, the sound, and he let me borrow that guitar. He let me take that guitar home. He walked me home, and people like that, people who see you. That's why I spend my life now making sure that I see people, whether it's singers, musicians, kids that need help. You know, when you must see them and recognize them.
Yeah.
And then your eyes must be open to that. And his eyes was open to me, and I've got a debt to pay, because that moment was one of the most emotional moments of my life.
Fantastic. And if you had to pinpoint what that emotion would have been, what would it have been, Bluey?
Various things. It would have been, it was confirmation from somebody else that I needed at a time when I was broken. You know, the beatings made me run away from school. I was playing truant every day. You know, he finally caught up with me, and the teacher said to him, try to kind of guide this kid. And he was a math teacher, but he had an after school music, little kind of, you know, play music to people. He was a guitarist. He'd play a bit of the guitar and he'd try to get people involved, you know. And I still do that with kids that I meet. You know, if I'm on a school trip with kids, I make shakers. You know, I give them paper cups and I tell them, find different grains and we're all going to shake something and sing a song together and make a song up. You know, even when we haven't got instruments, you know, clapping and, yeah, and making shakers from paper cups, you know. It stayed with me the way that he was towards me. So that moment was an acceptance. It was discovering soul music that would be my career. And it was tying me up with an artist that would kind of be my Bible, my lessons in songwriting, my journeys. We would connect with Marvin Gaye several times. Later on, I'd end up working with various people who'd worked with Marvin Gaye, you know. And so that journey was an intense moment. I didn't know what it was going to be. But no, in that moment, I knew I was accepted. I knew I discovered soul music, my path, my light. It was guiding me towards the sound that I was looking for and creating. Because up till then, I could play some Rolling Stones licks. I could play some Beatles songs. But suddenly it was like, this is the journey I want to be on. This I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was Tamla Motown. I did not know that it was soul music and it had a name. All I knew, it was... This was my calling,
yeah.
You know?
And I think, you know, Motown, and I guess Marvin Gaye kind of really captures the sort of the essence of that first question I asked you about, you know, the intro and the way that now so many labels and producers are going for that kind of very early Motown, 2.5 minute, super sweet, infectious, mm-hmm, perfect pop. You know,
yeah,
like Ain't No Man in High Enough, heard it through the, yeah, grapevine. And then, you know, I think, you know, I mean, famously, I'm sure, like, Berry Gordy gets this to this day, not being overly keen on what's going on. And Marvin Gaye being like, look.
Cause silly there was, man.
There was no, he didn't, you know, he couldn't hear them pop singles on there, but I don't think, no, he could hear the genius that was that record. And I really like how this sort of Motown artist ended up being these kind of,
yeah,
absolutely, it was the perfect pop factory. And then you get records, yeah, like What's Going On, you get records like Papa Was a Rolling Stone that had these huge, yeah, long intros that I'm sure, yeah, Berry Gordy was pulling his hair out of his head when he heard them.
Well, the thing is, when working with labels and working with people who have the foresight to put together a label, they're very important, and Berry was extremely important because of that. But what you don't see is the genius that could be, you know, because you stumble upon getting a hit and then you want to repeat the hit. Record companies just want you to repeat the hits. If I had a penny for every time a record company said to me, oh, I like what you're doing, but can you do a song like this? Of course you're going to tell me to do a song like this. It's at number one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, where's the, you know, I don't need to be a genius to know what you're saying to me. You're trying to say, do something like this, copy this, you know, because it's successful. But it's very hard for people to allow you the creativity to come up with what is going to be your journey and make money for them,
yeah,
you know. And I love those accidental moments that happens, you know. It's like Marvin having to fight for his album, you know, What's Going On, yeah, having to kind of say, no, I'm not going to use the sax player you give me. I like the geezer that I'm hearing in the pub, you know. He's going to play the sax, yeah, on that, you know. Sticking to your guns, you, yeah, know. And as I get older, I become more like that, because I've had the whatever little degree of success I've had internationally, I'm using it to be true to myself, and the band and the band sound, you know, to ourselves.
Fantastic, Blue. We've spoke about school quite a lot already, and
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You know, I can only imagine at that time coming to the UK. Am I right that you come to the UK from Mauritius?
From the island of Mauritius, yes.
Yeah, and to come to the UK, and I mean, the times that you said that you come over here, you know, that the far right was on the rise, and it was a pretty, I imagine, a very, yeah, very tough time, as you've sort of...
I'd hear the word Paki and I would run.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to hear, because I know what was coming. It would be chasing bother boots. Boots would be raining on my head, you know, and I'd end up in hospital. And I ran in fear. But it's amazing how just one art teacher, one friend, the father of somebody, you know, who's like, you know, who would see that you hadn't had a meal and invite you to dinner, you know, and these people change your life forever, you know. It's like right now the world is broken, but that's why we must all take it upon ourselves to do stuff individually. You know, if we're waiting to join the masses, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, because we're just going to be hurting with, like, how do we answer this question? The only thing we can do is just to look out for people and do whatever you can, write a letter, have a conversation, try to change somebody's mind because you understand that you have a better answer than they have at the time, you know? So that's the only way. And I'm fortunate enough to have music to do that.
Yeah.
So it's a huge responsibility, you know. Right now, it's a huge responsibility to lift up people's morale, to do what I do, bring happiness to people.
Yeah. Tell me about the song that soundtracked your time at school.
The song that reminds me of school days is there's various, like, you know, it's already in the first, it's in the last question with Marvin Gaye, Through the Grapevine, because that was me discovering my future. But I went to secondary school, and because I'm a child of the 60s, I don't just like soul music, you know, or jazz music, you know, I love folk music, you know, I love rock music. And there's the Dutch band came out whilst I was at secondary school, and I'd bought my first electric guitar for 11 quid, and they had an amplifier at school. And I met a young piano player, a beautiful human being, Sylvie, who was actually Sandra. But the song at the time that was playing on the radio that we used to listen to on school campus was by a Dutch band called Focus. And they had a tune and instrumental called Sylvia. And I learned to play Sylvia, and she was hearing me practicing Sylvia. And she said, I can play like piano around that, and we can do a gig together. And we did like a whole gig just playing Sylvia. You know, it's like we played for about an hour to the school. We were jamming and it'd go off into things. And the funny thing is, he ended up having a couple of little touches of Marvin Gaye inside the actual jam that we had, because she liked Marvin Gaye too. And a little Stevie Wonder. But it was mainly around the music of Focus, a Dutch band, yeah. You know, a rock pop band. And I'm happy to say that I'm now a friend of Jan Ackerman, that guitarist.
Amazing.
And that's the beauty about the music that I followed, because people ask me, why do you do covers? You know, that was my first cover, pre-Incognito, you know, and I played Sylvia by Focus. And that would always remind me of school days, because I always strive to one day meet somebody because I love their music so much and just thank them. And I've collected these people over the years, Stevie Wonder, Jocelyn Brown, you know, it's like they've come into my life because, you know, Ramsey Lewis, Herbie Hancock, you know, all these people that I've loved, I've met them because we performed on the same stage, or I've done the cover of their songs, like Ronnie Laws with Always There, you know. So they've become friends of mine. And, you know, Nights Over Egypt, Dexter Wansel, the same thing, you know. It's like people, I immediately have an in with them because I did the cover of their songs.
So was there any, I mean, it doesn't sound like it, but was there any doubt in your mind what you wanted to do when you left school? Was music the only option for you?
All the time. I've known since I was five. And when grandparents tell you, you look at your grandparents, you're watching music on the beaches and you go, Gran, I want to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to play music and I'm going to go on the ships everywhere around the world, because I lived in a harbor town in Mauritius, Port Louis. And I don't know whether grandparents confirm those things in you because they love you and they don't really know. But I actually, you know, anything my grandparents told me, that was the truth. You know, so when she said, yes, you will, I just took it upon myself that was going to be my journey. So when a teacher said, well, I remember a school teacher writing in my school report in my second year of secondary school, you're, because I went to a boarding school and my mom was working three jobs to be able to send me to that boarding school. And she wrote, you're wasting your money. Your son will amount to nothing in this life. You know, she wrote this harsh thing and my mom started having tears. I said, don't worry, she's wrong. You know, and of all the people in my class, I'm probably using she was an English teacher. I'm probably using the English language more than anyone in terms of what I do with it. I'm a poet. I'm a songwriter. And it's been my living, and I've taken care of families, including not just my own, but other families and people worldwide with my earnings from that musical education that I've had, because I didn't have a music class, only that guy bringing the guitar to the studio. That was my only music class in life, you know. But the music class came from records, from listening to radio, listening to records, sitting down. God forbid you should have a good record collection and you live down my street. Because I'll be in there on your floor day in, day out, you know, eating you out of house and home.
Well, look, we're talking records. Tell me the first song the first record you remember buying from a record store.
At Tottenham High Road, I bought Layla by Derek and the Dominoes.
You didn't have to even think about that, did you? That was straight there.
No, that's right. You know, the B-side was Bell Bottom Blues. I can't even tell you about the B-side. And that was a special moment because as a guitarist, my cousins had taken me to the Isle of Wight, and I'd seen from very, very far away Jimi Hendrix played. Then they'd take me to the West End, and I saw him in a record shop jamming in the basement of a record shop in the West End. So the actual old rock scene was and the melodic side of the rock scene was really, you know, when you come from the 60s, you're listening to as much Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young as you are Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
You know, it's as important. You know, it's like the journey of various music. You know, Joni Mitchell and Rufus and Chaka Khan live alongside. you know, and for me to find out that they're best friends, because I went on to work with Chaka Khan,
yeah,
you know, and she told me about her relationship with Joni Mitchell. And I had always explained to people that I love music so much. I love the music of Joni Mitchell as much as I love the music of Chaka Khan yeah. and Rufus. And unknowing later on, when I started working with Chaka, she would tell me that we are dear friends. And we see each other, and we speak, and we collaborate.
That's incredible. I thought
that was magical, and it's truly.
A lot of the things you've said, so, like even early on, you were saying that, you know, you'd hear, you know, just a smidge of, you know, of a Bill Withers track. You knew it was a Bill Withers track, and you know, you said the same for Marvin. I don't think that's that common. I think, you know, that shows you know a real insight and attention to something, you know, maybe not on the sort of surface level that a lot of the general public would listen to music, you know, on a very kind of, you know, not as I'm trying to find the right words to describe it, really, not as in depth and as insightful as how maybe you was hearing music. Do you think sort of having that fascination of and vision to hear straight away like something and being able to identify via the sort of sound of the production, do you think that was already sort of carving out a road for production for you, like, early on?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. I would listen to the thing that has made me successful is not that I'm a great guitarist, not that I am a super songwriter. I'm able to do these things to the best of my ability. But what has always made me a good producer is that I could hear the possibilities from other records and that I took it on as not just the joy of listening or the background. This was like, this was the inspiration information, as Shaggy Otis puts it. You know, this was like the stuff that I needed. This was my Bible. This was my blueprint in life. Every time I'd hear something that caught my ear, it would be like, you know, I remember going to do an album called Beneath the Surface in America. And I worked with an arranger who'd worked with Miles Davis and other people, Bob Belden. And he'd worked with Herbie Hancock and various people. You know, it's like, it was an amazing arranger. Sadly passed away too young. But Bob was arranging the strings for this album for me, and I was in this little space. He slept in a tiny room just full of records with a little hole in the wall that he snuck into, you know, lit a spliff and go to sleep and then come out and just listen to records and write scores all day long. That was his life, you know. And I loved to go into that little den, and I was in this little den with him, and he was saying, "How do you hear this section?" And I sang him this little line. He says, "That reminds me of something." And I thought, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I listen to music and I'm stealing little parts I'm unaware that I'm doing it, you know. And he recognized it as being a song by Chicago that I was singing, and I didn't even know the title. And I'd mixed it up with, then he heard the end line that I was singing, and he said, "Wichita Lineman." Oh. And I said, yeah, that's the sound that I want. He says, I understand everything that you're trying to say. So having that DJ mentality, having that, you know, your record collection, that's why you can communicate to people. You know, that's why when you play something at a party, people love it, because you know who they are and you know what you're playing.
Yeah.
You know who you've got in front of you. So I'm going to touch your heart because I'm going to take you back. I'm going to open up the memoirs. I'm going to be a photograph album while I DJ for you, you know, that you're going to open up and see your past, you know. Beautiful. And that has always been important to me. And he said to me that's the best kind of communication he could have from an artist, yeah, because, you know, we've cut corners. And I know where to go because you know what you want.
Yeah. What a moment. It's surreal, Bluey. Like, that track, I've done over 500 episodes of this podcast now, and the Wichita Lineman, the amount of people that reference that record when mm-hmm. talking about something, beautiful music, Wichita Lineman gets thrown in the mix so often. Yeah. What a record it is.
I'm not surprised.
It's a beauty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a moment of perfection. It's a moment that, you know, people who don't even listen to a certain type of, that listen to only a certain type of music or have it in the background, the moment, if they don't know the name, the moment you play that, they go, oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
The amount of time I've been in a room and put that on and they don't even know what the title is and who the artist is. And they go, oh my God, I love that tune.
So good. Well, look, let's ramp the beat up a little bit from Wichita Lineman for track five. And I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing, please, Bluey.
Now, this is an important question because it also tells you why Incognito is Incognito.
Okay.
You know, because I'm not just a musician. I'm not just a songwriter. I'm a clubber. You know, I like to go out. And sometimes the worst people you could have around you in a club are musicians.
Yeah,
because they analyze everything, and and if the track comes on that's just got a beat that's going around for too long, they're looking for the change, and it doesn't come. You know, that's because they're not dancers; they're not on the same journey.
Yeah,
and but I remember being in a little club in Soho, a little club that only existed for a short while called Club Seven, and. And I remember Royer's Running Away came on, a 12-inch version. And I was just mesmerized. And I just immediately wanted to throw shapes on the dance floor, you know. So I got out there and I was supposed to be helping out at this club. I was supposed to be collecting glasses for a few quid, and that would pay for my entry fee and also give me a little some fish and chips on the way home.
Yeah,
you know, that's all I was after. But you know, and if I was lucky enough to make enough, I would go straight into Chinatown and have some fried rice and a bowl of soup.
Fantastic.
A chicken sweet corn soup, and that was my Saturday night. It was my Friday and Saturday night taken care of, you know. And when I heard that, I had to be somehow. My brother-in-law who ran the club had to tap me on the shoulder and say, "What are you doing?" I said, "I have to dance to this. I'm sorry. I'll go back to work." He says, "No, I'm feeling you. I'm going to dance with you."
Oh, lovely. Love it. and so it's.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Has clubbing been important, like from the days of Roy Ayres moving through and throughout the 90s and that? Was clubbing always a place that you would kind of look towards to see, you know, movements in music and fashion and style and find out about new producers and such. Yeah. Is clubbing a good place to go and kind of research?
Totally. Everything that you've just said, you know, Nights Over Egypt, that's where I discovered the arrangements of Dexter Wansel, the way that he arranged the voices. And you can go back to a bunch of stuff, always there, here and that. I heard that, first of all, in a club. I didn't find that in somebody's home or in a record collection, in a record shop. I heard that in a club. And when I heard it, I felt, I didn't realize that this would be so much part of my life later on. But I'm not surprised, because of the impact it had on me, you know. I remember being at the Caravan of Dreams in that, I think, Dallas, Texas, and I was having some food, and I came out of the restaurant and walking towards the venue, which was in the same yard. And I was approached by the organizers and said, "You have to say hello to some people who have been there for almost an hour already. They're at the door. It's a family." And I said, "Who is it?" He said, "We don't know. They're just waiting for you. They want to meet Bluey." So as I walked towards the door, the youngest kid from that family, ran up to me and held onto my legs and went, thank you, Uncle Bluey. Thank you for our house." I said, "Thank you for our house. What's going on?" And I was just saying hello to them. And then the father stepped towards me and said, "You don't realize who we are, do you?" I said, "No." He said, I wrote the lyrics, the version to Always There, you know, Mr. Allen." And I said, "Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for greeting me this way." And he said, no, "We just wanted to thank you, because you doing that version of Always There saved me. I had to get a regular job. I was out. Now I'm back songwriting. Amazing. It's paid for my house. And we built a house, and I have a studio at home, and I'm writing again, you know." And so the impact of, you know, my story with music is just like, if you spend time with me, you'll realize that nothing is an accident. Nothing is serendipitous.
Yeah.
You know, me, dance music was really, really important, and it led me to that moment in the future. But if you go back 5 years old, I'm on the beach in Mauritius, and I'm sitting with my grandma and my 4 or 5 years old. So those are my first memories. You know, there's no memories before that. I'm on the beach, and the people who plant sugarcane come from across the road and walk towards the beach and have a little drink and sit and they rub oil on each other and soothe each other, because it's hard work. They're broken. They have a little something to eat. Some people unwrapped little banana leaves with food in it, you know, with biryani rice, and they heat it with their hands and they're sitting there. Then a musician arrives with a single drum called the ravan. They start to play, and then somebody takes a bottle and a fork and ding 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 ding, and the broken bodies are suddenly mended. They start to rise, and the women lift up their skirts and entice the men to come to dance with them. And the men come through, and they kind of lower themselves and down by the ladies. And suddenly the dead come alive,
yeah,
you know. And I realized the impact of dancing, you know. And when I'm clubbing, it's spiritual.
Yeah.
Because I go back to that moment, you know. When I see a dance floor, when I see one of my tunes in our first few bars, and I see people already going, "Woo!" and throwing their hands up in the air because they've heard that "Rise to Always There," David Morales version, and I'm connected with that, and I feel, and I'm back on the beach, I'm back to being five, you know. Absolutely. And it's like, and it's something that has started from young. So dancing is really, really important. Sadly, my days dancing are numbered, because I've got osteoporosis, and I find it really hard, and very soon I'm gonna have to be sitting down. I won't be able to carry the guitar, I'm trying to do my best. If I can get better, I'll get better and I'll carry on. But, you know, I'm a soldier and I've got this, I've got music in my life. Absolutely. So I'm okay, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm sorted. I just now enjoy making people dance rather than dancing myself.
Wonderful. Blue, we've spoke about Mauritius a lot. So for the next track, let's go back there. Tell me a track that reminds you of home.
Chifre. He was like, he's no longer with us. He was, the one that kind of really created the Sega music. The raw, he's the father of the musical, the music heritage of the Indian Ocean, where my little island is, and his songs were about, simple songs about making people happy, two little pieces of a skin of a goat. And two little pieces of wood, speaking of drums, creating a drum is all that I need to make you dance. It's like those messages, they fascinated me, because when I first heard En La Pocabri, which is one goat skin in Creole, I think, what's he singing about the goat for, And then I realized it's the drum, my grand would and my uncle would explain to me, that's how the ravan, the drum, is made, from stretching the skin. And then all these connections would be kind of flowing, So the music of Tifwe is the, where, what I go back to, anytime. And Papitu is this tune is called Papitu.
Fantastic. Bluey, for your last track, this is an opportunity for you to tell our listeners about a track that you think they may not have heard that you'd like to tell them about.
Okay. There's so much new music, because I buy new music every day. I drive my missus crazy because I've spent all my earnings on purchasing music. But sometimes, it's not just the famous people that you meet and what's been played on the radio and what's already been exposed to you through your fan base. Sometimes it's somebody that you don't know, but they're right next door to you. I'm in a studio in East London where there's, it was an old warehouse that's been converted into several studios. And there's this sweet guy smiling, sweet smiling guy, with dreads, looking at me and kind of smiling every morning. And I thought, I acknowledge this guy, smiling back. And then, over a coffee, we talk at this little cafe just outside the studio. And he says, I've got a room in here and I'm making some music. I thought, one day, come by and say hello. And I took his name and he wrote to me, and I still hadn't heard what he was up to. And I was doing a series of shows for, I don't know if it's okay to say this, but I was doing a series of shows for Apple Music as a DJ. I've got over 100 shows, Bluey Groove Velocity Radio. As soon as I heard his music, I played it and I gave him a worldwide stage by just playing his music. He's such a sweet guy that he wasn't kind of putting himself forward. He was playing down his talent and his skill set. And when I found out the music of Aaron Taylor, I was blown away, and I still am. His missus sometimes sings leads for on shows with Brand New Heavies, and I met her, and I didn't realize it was his wife. And he said, "Man, I'm Aaron's wife." After a show that we'd done with Incognito and Brand New Heavies, I said, "Oh my God, I should have known you were Aaron's wife without being told, because you have that same sweetness that he has, and that same kind of like hold back, don't kind of show off." And this is a track that I think must have been inspired by his wife that he wrote, "This is Flowers."
It's a wonderful record, mate. It's a wonderful record. And the sound of it, like, as soon as I heard it, like, when I got sent your songs over, I was going through them and I'd never heard of him before, and it was lovely to get to explore it, and that track, it really took me back to kind of late 70s Cameo. Like, there was definitely that kind of feel to it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I totally understand. There's a funk and a sweetness to it.
Yeah,
that is kind of like innocent, and it wasn't something you're going to hear on you know, for all the masses. But it kind of, if you're that kind of person, and if you have those kind of reference points, it's going to speak to your heart straight away.
Yeah,
you know, to me and you, you know, we cut from the same stone. So, you know, that would touch our hearts. I'm glad that I picked a song that you didn't know, because that was in the question. Something that
absolutely.
People may not have heard. So I hit the nail on the head.
Perfectly.
I'm super happy because I love this guy. And I want the world to hear him.
Well, they will, because we'll help with that, because we put together a little Spotify playlist, Bluey, to accompany the podcast, so people can go and listen to all of the records that we've spoken about.
Sweet.
And obviously we will put some incognito music on there as well. And so what is going to be happening for the rest of the year and into the new year with Incognito? What can people expect?
Well, in 3 days' time, we drop our brand new album, which is a double vinyl. 16 tracks, because I realized that our fans was coping without Incognito for 2 years, and I thought I'd give them two albums.
Why not?
In one. and as I was self-financing it, I didn't have the record company saying, "That's far too many tracks, you need to make it shorter, give us an edit." No, here it is in all its glory, with all the musicianship that I could put on, with all the presentation of the young voices, the people that are coming into my life, new faces, and Natalie Duncan, Cherry V, and some of the old guys that have been with me for a while, Francis Hilton, Tony Monreal, and the likes, and it's really now time for me to go out. I've been touring as much as I can since the doors got reopened, but now I've got a new purpose. I've got this new album. And I want to tell the world about it, not just to glorify our music, but to kind of open doors for the wonderful British and European talent that's on display.
Oh, that's fantastic. Bluey, I wish you all the best with that record. And it's been an absolute delight talking records with you today, mate. Thank you so much for giving up your time.
Absolutely. Love talking to you, Stu. We must maybe chow, have some food and a drink, and carry on this conversation, because I felt like I was speaking to a brother that I've known for many, many years.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love that. That would be wonderful. I'm going to press stop now, but don't go anywhere. Oh, mate, what a chat. What a lovely, lovely man. We chatted longer after that we'd press stop. I'm going to head up to his studio and hang out and have a coffee with him, because he was absolutely delightful. Go check out Incognito. Go check out the new music. Go check out the old music. Go check it all out, and go check out the playlist that we've put together to accompany this pod. Just search on Spotify for Incognito Off the Beaten Track guest playlist, and just check out some of the records that he's spoken about. The Roy Ayres track is off the scale, and if you've never heard that Barry White track, go check it out. And obviously there's some of Bluey's music over there as well, and while you're over there, why not subscribe to Spotify as well, because that's where all the playlists go, as well as all of my little playlists that I do just to soundtrack my own little dog walks and runs. All right, well, I'll be back next time. As mentioned at the beginning, if you can support us over on Patreon, it'll cost you 70p a month, and that will be amazing. I appreciate there's a cost of living crisis going on, so no pressure. But all I do ask is totally free, is wherever you listen to this podcast, Spotify, Apple, Acast, wherever you listen to it, give us a little subscribe and give us a follow on the social media platforms. And if you've got any guests that you'd like to hear me chat to, if I've not spoken to them already, drop me a message on the socials and I will reach out to the guests and see if we can get them on. Okay, I'm back next time. In the meantime, look after each other, be nice, and love. Bye-bye.